On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, Big Sky Montana, Curly Fries, Attack of the Clone, Buy Yourself Some Good Jeans, and a Vet Trip.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
I just got back from a big trip, Petra.
You did.
I left you and Chairman Meow all alone.
And somehow we survived.
Fend for yourself. I went with some guys on a mostly guy. There was one girl. One guy brought his 16-year-old daughter. But the rest of us guys. So it's mostly.
Which sounds kind of weird, by the way. But you guys have been skiing together since she was a bitty kid.
Yeah, so. We've been with her. Yeah, she's been with us a few times skiing.
Yeah.
But still, I have to say, I'm not. It went fine.
Yeah, because y'all are not creepy guys.
Yeah, but when I knew it was a guy's, sort of a guy's ski trip is what I thought. I thought all guys. And then I learned one of the guys was bringing a 16-year-old daughter. I thought, well, this is going to put a little bit of a damper on this. But it really didn't. It was all right.
No, it's not like you were going to get wild and out of hand anyhow.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't too bad as far as that goes. And it wouldn't have been anyway. But let me tell you something. Montana is a totally different universe than I mean, we think we have winters and extreme weather and mountains and things like that. We don't have shit. That's a really amazing.
We don't have shit.
Yeah, no, not compared to that. I mean, we really don't. And every place is beautiful in its own way. I get all that, but if any of our listeners, if you ever get a chance, if you like nature, go to Montana. If even remotely hiking, outdoors, seeing animals in their natural state interest you in any way, that I'm telling you that I can't imagine any place in America any better than that.
Hank has been caught up in a school kid like glee watching nature documentaries on Netflix on Yellowstone.
Yeah, I got back and watched some Yellowstone.
You sure have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have. It's been great. I've been meaning to bring that up.
Yeah, I have been. I can't
you
help
have,
it.
And it's great. No, I'm pointing it out as I'm enjoying that enthusiasm in you.
It's nice.
Yeah.
You know, we don't mind traveling. The problem with me and you are we don't mind traveling, but we're not planners and the active person doing the trip planning.
Yeah, neither one of us are tour guides.
Yeah, right. Like one of these guys, that helped tremendously because he's just into that.
Yeah.
I mean, he booked the flight, the
hotel.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really. Well, there was a hotel, but then also the ski lodge and the ski lift tickets. I mean, he just planned everything and basically just wrote him a check. I basically wrote him one check for the whole thing, and that was it. That's pretty cool.
That is, I love traveling like that. And I, every now and then, I find, you know, a friend who's like, doo, 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 doo. Sally's like that. I've got a few friends who are great for.
Yeah, yeah, maybe Sally can bring you in something like that.
Yeah.
We need somebody to do that for us. We need like a third wheel to bring with us to just plan our stuff
plan
for us.
Everything, yeah.
So we would go if somebody would just plan it.
Yeah.
Now, anyway.
We're going to have to look into and I've had on my list forever to get a passport. And I want to go on a cruise. Like, I really, really, really do. But I want, you know, to pay to go, you know, really nice through a travel agency.
Yeah, well, let them do the planning for us. I'm sure that's what everybody's screaming. Like, that's what travel agencies are for, Jeff.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as somebody right there with you. I mean, this guy in our group, Joey, I mean, he just took care. I mean, even, like, while you're there, like, he's the guy that goes and checks in the room.
Yeah.
And takes care of all that shit for you.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was at Big Sky, Montana is where I was. It's the biggest, apparently. They brag about this, either tied for first or they say they're first, like the biggest ski resort in North America, as far as like how many runs and trails and how big the mountain is and yada, yada, yada.
I'm sure there's
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about some of the Montana stuff. I took some pretty decent notes up here. One, it's just neat seeing things like in the little village, the little town that's the closest to this mountain. Like they build these ski places usually kind of away from things on purpose.
Yeah.
So there is a little town about 5 or 6 miles away from the main mountain.
Okay.
In that little town, we went down several times for, you know, groceries or to eat out, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got like a skating rink in the middle of their town where people are doing curling. Like,
that's hilarious.
Like legitimately out there freaking curling. Like, that's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Where else would you see that, right?
Nowhere. And is it that just because of the Olympics this year and people are aware of it, or do you think that's...
I think over the last few years it's just gotten more popular, but yeah, because of the Olympics for sure is part of it.
Yeah.
But just the fact that you can go in town and watch people curling in the middle of their park is pretty darn
crazy.
Cool.
That's cool.
They have things like ice climbing. We could have done an excursion, a little adventure where these giant waterfalls, I'm talking 30, 40 feet, 50 feet, waterfalls have frozen solid ice.
Uh-huh.
And you can take these giant pickaxe ice things and your ice shoes with those giant spikes in them. You can climb those if you want. Take guides, climb those.
I'm guessing that you're roped into the top somehow.
Yeah, you would think, but not necessarily probably up there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm sure there's different levels.
There's
just
death wish craziness going on sometimes on these.
Yeah.
Crazy white people, mountain, cold weather sports.
How about dog sledding? They have dog sledding up there.
Oh, poor puppies.
Are you kidding? They love it.
I would hope.
And then, of course, all the snow stuff. Skiing, you get to rent those big snowshoes and go hiking in the snow and those things. Snow hiking, whatever
snow
you call
hiking.
It.
Snow hiking. Snowshoe.
Literally using snowshoes and just hike.
Dang.
Look at all the nature that's out there. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's that. What else here from some of my notes? It is such a unique place that I couldn't have been the only one to see how unique this place is. Because one thing I didn't notice while I was up there, nobody's from there. Like none of the workers, none of the guys that rent your ski boots or work in the ski lodge or works in the restaurant or anybody. Like if you strike up a conversation with them, they're from random places, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, just random places that they have obviously somehow been there, loved it.
Stayed.
Tons of them. I didn't meet one person the whole time we were in the state of Montana that was actually
from Montana. That's kind of weird, man.
It is. It's like a weird beacon, some sort of a honing device for, I don't know, hippie, cool people that like nature, I guess.
But then all of the people who were originally from Montana are like, the hell with these hippies, and they left?
I guess. Or I just didn't meet them. Obviously, I have to be there. But
maybe.
Maybe if you're born there, you're like, screw
it's
this
like
weather.
That
I'm getting.
West, all right. Snowshoe in West Virginia, it's kind of like that. All the people, I mean, generally, the people in that area have this weird love-hate relationship with the tourists.
And?
They don't leave. The people, the West Virginians don't leave. They take the money, but they grumble about them all the time. It's funny.
Well, it seems like the Montana people have left, and other people have come in. Maybe it's just if you're born. Maybe it's just like you said. It's when you grow up with that, and you get old enough, you're like, screw that. I'm tired of negative 40 degree freaking winters. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
If you're not from there, you're like, all right, there's winter. It gets minus 40 degrees here.
I grew
this
up
is
in
awesome.
Florida, and it never got cold.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, speaking
weirdness.
Well, speaking of minus 40 degrees, I learned this from some of the locals there. it literally does get to minus 40 degrees there. And that's not wind chill. That's a straight up temperature. And that number significant.
Oh, God, that just hurts my body talking about it.
Negative 40. Isn't that crazy? All right. Yeah. Well, the reason that number specifically, locals, it just does. They don't call school off till it's colder than negative 40. At negative 39, they will have school. And one of the locals told me this. She was like, I was one of the bartenders at one of the places. She's like, yeah, it was negative 39 last year and they had school. It has to be, if it's negative 40. Yes, it has to be negative 40 before they call school off.
Oh, gosh.
Now, she said at negative 20, they stop running the buses, but you still have to bring your kid to school. So they still have school. They just stop running the buses at negative 20, and then they'll actually call school off at negative 40. Does that not just sound crazy to even say that out loud? From around here, I mean, we get a hard frost and they call school off.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, it's the end of the world.
Yeah. Nope. Not up there. All right. Anyway, let me tell you my story from up there. One of our guys, Jeff, that went skiing with us, he was not the greatest snowboarder in the world, but he was kind of an idiot because he would really try about anything, even though he wasn't that great at it. I mean, he was okay. He wouldn't totally kill himself most of the time, but he'd fall a million times at going down something and just, okay, I'm ready to go again. Like,
dude. Oh, yeah. Like that guy that gets hurt, like rolls down the hill so much, then gets up and keeps going. That you just hurt for him.
Yeah. Well, that was
all right,
Jeff.
Yeah. If you're hurting for him, it's pretty bad.
Which by the way, I mean, I've skied a lot, and I feel like I felt like until this trip, I was basically an expert skier, frankly. But, and I always thought if I just take my time, I can get down anything. I may not go fast. I'm not going to break any records, but I can navigate and just real slowly turn and get down anything. Well, I couldn't have been as wrong as a human being could be.
Oh, I love to hear this.
Because when you're, I mean, at the peak of this stupid thing is 11,100 and some odd feet above sea level at the peak of this mountain. At the base of the mountain is like probably 3,000 or 4,000 feet above sea level.
Jeez.
So you're talking from the base of the mountain to the peak of the mountain, just while you're there. Yeah. It's a 7,000 feet rise.
Yeah.
Just there. And when you're at the very peak top of this thing, you got to take lifts to get to different levels of this mountain. And by the time you get to the very last lift that takes you to the very tip top peak of this thing, and they will let you get up there and look, and you don't have to ski down, you can just look.
That is very wise.
It is. But before you get on that last lift, I wish so bad I had taken a picture of those signs. I mean, there are signs there that basically they're not these little mamsy pamsy caution signs, you know, caution, slippery when wet, you know, be careful, it's slip, you know.
Yeah.
No, they're not fucking around up here in Montana. These signs basically say, they literally say, like, chance of death. You could die. You, by getting on this lift and going up here, you acknowledge that you might die.
That's impressive.
It is. And they say, and then they go into detail. Like, we can't control avalanches. We can't control the sometimes tornado winds at the top of this mountain that come up unexpectedly. Like, we can't control any of that. You are totally at your own risk by going up here.
Yeah.
That's insane. And people ski that. Like, you'd get up to the peak, it is almost vertical. I wouldn't say it's a 90-degree angle, but it's damn 80 degrees. Straight down, probably at least 2,000 feet or 1,000 feet before you would ever hit the first something that would stop you.
Yeah. This is the jackass of all sporting
it's
events,
insane.
Isn't it? It's just crazy.
It's crazy.
It is insane. It's crazy.
And like I said, there is no way. I didn't even bring my skis up. I'm like, I can tell from the level I'm on now that that's going to be insane.
Yeah, I'm so, not doing this.
No. So that's what it's like up there, just so you know. So on the level we were on, let's just say there's level one, or you get so high up on a mountain and there's level two, and then let's say this is level three. Well, we were up there at level two, and our buddy who snowboards, again, he's not the greatest in the world, and we're still up there, and it's still steep, and it's still crazy. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Level two
was nuts.
Is crazy. And there's this rim around, almost like a, if you imagine almost like a crater, which is probably what it was back in the day, thinking about it. It was probably a volcanic crater. Well, imagine the steep sides of this crater that are just straight up and down.
Uh-huh.
And then in the bottom of it, like a big meadow, like a big old meadow, except it's all snow, but I'm just saying, straight up mountains, and then you go down to a place that's more flat.
Okay.
Well, when you take the lift to the place that's the steep things going down to the flat area, well, there's a little trail around there, no wider than your skis, maybe 2 feet wide, literally.
Okay.
No room to turn, nowhere to go. You're either going to go around the rim of this thing
or
jump down. And it's so straight down, and I did this too the first time we went on this.
Uh-huh.
You keep going around because you think there's going to be some space or some place where it's a little not so steep. And you finally get to the point where you're like, well, fuck it. I just got to go down this. Like, this is straight down, and there's no other way down. So we all did that. The guy on the snowboard, he kept going around. And by the way, it's so white from the snow, you really do kind of get disoriented as far as it's hard to see contours.
Yeah.
And you got your ski glasses on with all the garb and, you know, sun, it's shaded like sun, not sunglasses, you know, but that tint.
Yeah, it's tinted, yeah.
So anyway, you can get
polarized, yeah.
So he kept going around this rim, and there's two levels of these little trails where people are going around. So there's people below him that are riding the rim of this cliff, and then he's above them going around the rim of this cliff.
Okay.
And he keeps going around and going around. He tells us a story later. And as he's going around, he hears these people below him like, hey, look at that idiot. He's about to go off the edge of this cliff. So Jeff stops. He said, I just stopped. And I kind of looked around. And I didn't see anybody because I want to see this idiot too. And then they said, oh, he stopped. Never mind. And he obviously figured out they were talking about him.
I'm so glad that he had enough sense to figure it out.
Yeah, so then he like took his goggles off and like, wow, where am I? Because apparently I'm about to die. And sure enough, like not much further up was like basically the edge of this damn cliff that he was about to go off.
Oh, man.
Like the little mountain climber on the Price is Right game. Exactly.
Oh, man.
So,
too funny.
So, yeah, you can absolutely die out there. There's just no doubt about it. What else did we see out there? We skied in minus 20 degrees ourselves while we were there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Not me. Not wind chill, but actual negative 20 degrees.
Yeah.
And let's see. I will say this, that 16-year-old girl, her name was Susie. And Susie got a great education from four old white dudes up there.
That absolutely sounds like the most disgusting
thing
in the world.
Actually five white dudes that drug her around place to place with dirty jokes and
that sounds like somebody needs to come arrest all of you.
Well, before it was over with, we had her gambling, first of all. We showed her how to place bets on like what the minus six, and you know, if a team's minus six versus the other one, that means they're favored by six.
We're watching UK basketball all the time. Okay. Yeah, all right. So betting.
So we're betting
point spreads.
Yeah, and we were betting with her, you know, a dollar or so a game just to get, you know, just to have some fun up there, frankly.
All right.
So,
okay.
So we got her gambling. Drinking, we had her, like, we didn't get her drunk or anything like that. But
her dad let her have a glass of wine, her first glass of wine.
that he, well, that he knew of course.
Well, yeah.
She told me, I've been to parties, I've drank all the time, blah, blah, blah. But you know.
Yeah, but drinking in front of your dad.
But official, yeah. She had a glass of wine, and then I was, what I have, I had honey bourbon up there, honey bourbon and Diet Coke, and I mixed her a drink of that, kind of sneaked that to her one night, so.
All right.
She liked that. She liked bourbon.
Okay.
She's a Kentucky girl. She needs to learn how to drink bourbon, for God's sake.
Bourbon. Okay, I can understand that. All right, so far, so good. You're not going to die yet.
All right, well, while we were up there, we also got her to ride along with us on a drug deal. How about that? She's riding along on our big Escalade. Well, here's the deal. It's five guys, and frankly, we wanted to smoke some weed while we're in Montana. It's legal there, at least medically. We're on a ski trip, and you come back, and, you know, we just thought it'd be fun.
Okay.
So we made friends with this local bartender who ended up basically hooking us up with some weed.
Uh-huh.
And so,
so you had to go get it.
Yeah, so we had to go get it. So
along for the ride.
Yeah, so Susie was riding in the back on our weed run for a drug
oh
for our drug
god.
Deal.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Okay.
So I'm telling you, Susie learned a lot. She learned a lot about being resourceful, like figuring out how to get things done.
Yeah.
Because even at the bar where that chick had the weed, or hooked us up with it.
Yeah.
You know, we just ask. I was just like, hey, you know, we're out of town. You know, anybody have, you know, any place to get some smoke around here for, you know, out of town people? I know medicinally it's fine, but we don't live here in Montana, so we can't get it. And of course, just like every other place in America, this lady's like, I don't know. Let me check around. She goes back in the back and asks all her employees, and, you know, she comes back, well, you know, the guys that normally have it, they're not here tonight. They're not working tonight. So, you know, give me your number. And yeah, by the end of the week, I'll hook you guys up, basically.
That is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure she doubled her money. I don't care. She probably got it at the dispensary, you know, $25, $30 worth, charged us $50, and hell, everybody's happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's funny, though. There's always room for the delivery man to make his cut.
That's exactly right. Now, we didn't let Susie smoke any marijuana.
Good. I'm glad.
We didn't do that. Well, she's 16. Her brain's still developing.
Yeah, that is. I think that's probably very important.
And we can say the thing about alcohol, I assume. But, you know, it was so small amount.
Well, most civilized countries, you know, kids start drinking small amounts of alcohol early in life. And they don't have nearly the drug and alcohol problems we do. So,
well, and this will, I'm not the most in shape dude in the world. I'm not like a elite athlete or anything, but of these five guys,
you do make it a point to go to the gym multiple times a week.
Yeah,
for real.
Right. I go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week, do cardio, lift weights, etc. Let me tell you, these guys I went with, nothing.
They went from zero to week-long warrior.
And when you're skiing down the stuff we're skiing down, I mean, it really is basically a good leg workout, cardio workout. It's not easy. And the diet that these guys were eating, and I know it wasn't just because we're on vacation. I know you can tell when that's just normally what you eat. You can just tell. And one of the dudes up there, I don't know if it was altitude, I don't know what it was, but it was just a running joke the whole time. This guy's name was Frank. We gave Frank his Indian name while he's up there. Shits a lot. That was Frank's Indian Montana name while we were up there. Shits a lot. Frank shits a lot.
Okay.
Because that's truly every place we went. The first thing was we have to find a place for Frank to poop. I don't care if it was on excursion to Yellowstone, skiing, wherever it was, Frank had to find his poop spot.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was either that as his was his Indian name, or it was Sir Poop-a-Lot as a 80s rapper name.
Yeah,
one of the other.
Yeah.
Sir Poop-a-Lot or Shits-a-Lot. I like the Indian name Shits-a-Lot.
I do too.
That one stuck.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I wanted, and
from the ski resort, we took one day, and that's when we went over to Yellowstone, and that's where I've been hooked on Yellowstone.
Yes.
Skiing's fun. Yeah. I've been skiing a million times, and that part was fun. But yes. Yellowstone, that was one in a million.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this place a little bit. First of all, these documentaries, they're cool. There's nothing like being there.
Yeah.
Just absolutely nothing. One of the things, we took snowmobile ride, 150 miles into Yellowstone on a snowmobile.
Okay.
They pack us lunches in these backpacks and things like that. Well, we stop. Our tour guide stops us, and we're going to park our snowmobiles and go walk over to this geyser. This geyser is probably 100 yards away.
Okay.
So you park your snowmobiles, you're going to walk 100 yards. She says, well, bring the backpacks with us so the animals don't get in our stuff. And I'm like, really? It's 100 yards. But, okay, whatever. So we grabbed all the backpacks.
Yeah.
Except one of my buddies had. He brought himself, like we all took her backpack, basically, to appease her.
Yeah.
But he left his. By the time we get back walking 100 yards, look at this geyser for 15, 20 minutes, walk back, there are two pterodactyls on his snowmobile, birds.
Uh-huh.
Giant black crows that are they're as big as small turkeys around. I've never seen any animal like this in my life.
Yeah.
And they have literally unzipped his backpack and getting the bars, the protein bars he had out of there.
Yep.
Literally have figured out how to unzip backpacks. In the wild. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to shoo them off. I mean, they were as close as to me and you before they flew away. And they are still looking at you like, I don't know if I want to attack you.
I might take you. Yeah.
They're sizing you up.
Yeah.
It was kind of eerie. Because like, crows are, you know, they're solid black, kind of creepy looking anyway.
Yeah.
And when they're just looking at you and you keep coming and they're not going anywhere, you're like,
yeah.
Well, this is going to get interesting.
Am I going to have to kick a crow?
Right. Yeah. They finally did, but I just thought that was crazy.
Yeah. I don't blame you. That is.
But anyway, and then while we're out there snowmobiling, I mean, you see buffalo. I've got.
Oh, yeah. You had a little video of the buffalo going by.
Just walking by. Foxes just sitting out in the field. Just the most beautiful, majestic fox you've ever seen. Just sitting on a snowbank.
Oh, yeah.
Otters, elk, a bald eagle, these bison, a coyote. We saw all this stuff. We saw all this stuff within, you know, a 4-hour trip around Yellowstone. Yeah. The geysers, obviously, Old Faithful. There's all kinds of geysers in there.
Yeah. Yeah,
not just that one, of course. There's, in fact, specifically, our tour guide said that there's about 10,000 natural geysers in the whole world that they know of. 6,000 of them are in Yellowstone.
Wrap your head around that. That's a whole lot.
Yeah, that's how natural a weird place that is, and that whole super volcano
that's
under there.
It's all going to blow up one of these days.
She said it's only 3 miles deep.
Mm-hmm.
She said you go down 3 miles and it's lava.
Dang.
And 3 miles may seem like a lot, but it's not in the whole scheme of things.
No, not in the world blowing up.
No. No.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I watched the documentary on the super volcano. It's one of those things I just don't even want to think about.
Me either.
So
apparently it explodes about every million years or so. They've carbon dated and calculated the last time was about 650,000 years ago, about. Yeah.
It could be.
It'll be catastrophic.
A long time or
when
next
it,
week.
When it blows, it'll be catastrophic. I mean, our whole country will probably be
done.
In a way. I mean, it'll for sure spread ash and all that blowout for sure all the way across the country here to Kentucky for sure.
Oh yeah.
And that part of the country, western part of our, I don't know how it's not just going to blow the hell up.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. I think it is something like a bomb going off for just hundreds of miles in every direction.
So that'll be crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But
so
who knows? It's one of those, it's going to happen someday things.
Right. And not a darn thing you could do about it. So, so that's some of my stories from Yellowstone / Big Sky, Montana.
Yes. You had a fantastic week.
I did. And you had a good week here, right?
Yeah, I did. I had a pretty laid back.
What did you and Sally do?
Well, Sally, I met Sally for lunch after she had a.
Sally might be our tour guide someday.
I don't know.
Sally had a
work evening. All right. She was hanging out with some friends of hers, and Sally's a pretty straight arrow, but these folks regularly consume.
She's like you. She's a giggly. She's a giggler.
Yeah.
She's funny. Sally's
good. We giggle a lot when we get together. But anyhow, they were smoking weed, and Sally's kind of, she doesn't smoke, so she's just kind of like.
So wait a minute, Sally was griping to you about somebody smoking weed?
No, all right, I'm telling you the story.
Okay.
All right, her buddies just regularly smoke weed, and she pretty much doesn't.
Right.
But this, while you were on your trip, they somehow got a hold of gummies. And Sally's like, I'll try one of those. I'd be the same way. So I have to just laugh my ass off at it.
So this is what you and your girlfriends were doing while I was in Montana, corrupting a 16-year-old?
No, this is her story. This is her story. And she did that the night before we met for dinner.
Gotcha.
But she said they were playing cards, and she was like, Petra, I couldn't make my hands work.
I couldn't make my hands work.
They were like flippers.
I didn't see her saying that too.
I couldn't pick up cards and I couldn't do math. I was like, I lose.
Wow.
And so she was feeling really kind of paranoid. So she went to the kitchen and they had like this bag with cold curly fries in it. And she's like, I'm just like leaning over the counter there, just eating, just both hands like a hamster. And they were like, they wanted to warm them up for her. And she was like, no, I want to eat them like that.
She's a vegetarian. I thought your story at first was going to go to like she started eating a bunch of meat. No. Going crazy.
No. Curly fries.
Still, that's very greasy. It's not like her to eat that.
No,
that's still
she doesn't
funny.
Usually eat that much junk. But she was like, yeah, I got up the next morning. I had a headache. I didn't feel good. I still felt squirrely.
We have friends that are doctors, and they've told me that like in JAMA and New England Journal of Medicine, like the really credible magazines, that the top level double blind studies that are the most scrutinized scientific studies, he still says there's hardly any of those on marijuana. He said almost everything is like anecdotal or B level studies. That's not the high criteria. Yeah. I can't believe. So, I mean, not that he's debating. I mean, he's a pothead, but he was just saying that when it comes to hard evidence, like it's hard to still prove some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was telling him, I'm like, well, that may be true, but I can't believe, I just can't believe somebody hasn't done one of those super scrutinized study at a minimum on appetite.
Yeah.
That it stimulates appetite.
Yeah.
I don't see how anybody in the world could refute that.
But, I know.
I mean, unless you just have some weird genetic mutation that it doesn't affect you. Well, maybe you're that one in a million. But universally, right? You smoke some pot, you're going to eat.
Yes.
Unless you have the willpower of I don't know what. But, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
If it makes,
that was That was one of the stories from the week you were gone.
Well, I'm glad you were hanging out here, having a good time.
Yeah. It was just a kind of a low key. I read a book. It was sunny here. I could go places in shorts and a t-shirt. That's amazing.
That is nutty. That one day
it was 100 degrees difference.
Yeah. Where I was, it was minus 20, and you said here it was 80.
80.
That is trippy.
It was.
100 degree difference.
But we were texting, and I was at the park in shorts and a t-shirt with sun, and you were in full face getup, protect every square inch of your skin.
Yes. Skin. Oh, yeah. For sure. So. Yep. Well, that's my Montana trip. That's your gone Montana trip story.
Well, yeah. I really didn't do anything that exciting.
Just hang out here with Chairman Meow?
Yeah, I did. Well, Chairman Meow, we just chilled.
Well, you know, that we need that once in a while.
Yeah, I felt re-energized. I really did. I was excited to have you back, but it was nice to just kind of take care of myself for a week. Heck, I went and got my hair done. They got a new hair color. I was good to me. I
came back to a new wife.
You did.
Like, who are you? It was nice.
No,
it's very nice. I can't think of anything else from Montana as far as that goes. So, good trip, though. It was a great trip.
Good trip.
All right. You've got something from
the cloning world. Yeah, this was in the news that is kind of maybe a little weird. Barbara Streisand had her beloved dog, Samantha, cloned. Meet Miss Scarlet and Miss Violet.
Cloned twice?
Yes.
The two clones of her dog.
Two clones of her dog.
What do you think of that? This story goes pretty deep, really. I got some already stuff on it. I like it when you tell me a story ahead of time. That gives me time to percolate on it.
To think about it some. On the one hand, if you really wanted to do that, I don't think of it as the same animal.
Right. That's point number one I was thinking. It's not the same dog.
No.
It's like two twins. Like, that'd be like having, I don't know, if you lost your best friend that was a identical twin and then you replaced him with the other identical twin.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
No, they're not the same person. They're just genetically identical.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird. But that being said, the genetic traits that you would love in this dog, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Identical. I mean, if your dog is genetically, I don't know, likes to snuggle on the couch more than normal dogs or whatever their personality is going to be close.
I don't know.
I mean, genetics have a role in that. Obviously, it's that nature versus nurture. But especially, though, think about this, though. If she got her first dog as a small pup,
uh-huh,
and she raised it. If she got these, obviously, she's going to get uh-huh. them as a small pup, and she yeah. raises them. By hell, it'll be close to the same.
Maybe. I'm not sure, but it says here in the article, she does say they have different personalities, and she's waiting for them to grow up more to see if they mature more like her original dog, Samantha.
I mean, another thing that this brings up. You know that means, of course, they can clone people.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Do you understand that?
If you can clone a dog, I'm sure you can clone a person. And I was like, what would stop, like, if you were killed next week and I was grieving so terribly, mm-hmm. I wanted to have you cloned and raise you as my child or something like that. I mean, what would stop people from doing crazy shit like that?
There will be so many things like that that are going to have to be worked out in the future that it is mind-blowing. We can't even imagine. You're 100% right. That scenario 100% could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hank's dead. Hurry, get a sample of his tissue. I'm going to make a new Hank.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, basically. From a small child, that'd be me.
Yep.
Genetically.
Now, it would be raised completely different. It'd be weird. It'd be really weird.
And think of the, golly, my mind just goes a million scattered. I have to reel that shit in. Yeah. Or I'll just random here.
That is, though, isn't it?
Well, think of the experiments you could do if you were so inclined. First of all, I know the ethics. I know this probably won't happen. But I'm just saying, like, what if you made 6 or 7 clones of somebody, and then you did experiments like, okay, you put this clone with an Indian family, and this family, and this one with a Chinese family, and this one with this.
Social experiments, yeah, with clones.
Yeah, exactly. This is like Krieger from Archer.
It is. This is a little rabbit hole that's like, don't go down there, eh?
But you know what? It almost starts a deeper discussion on basically if you believe somebody has a soul in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, each of those clones, genetically the same, different souls, if you believe in that kind of thing. Depends on your religion, I suppose, but, right?
Yeah. I guess it's kind of almost, where do you think the soul comes from?
Yes, and that's what I was getting at, like, with those, yes. Like, with those social experiments, like, having clones and putting them in different families, with different, even all over the world. Like, they would totally develop differently.
Absolutely. And have exactly the same genetics. And you could figure out how much is genes dependent and how much is environment dependent.
Yeah.
That's really creepy social engineering.
I think if I had to bet on something, like, for future stuff, And of course, none of us know. We don't know. If we did, somebody would have thought of the iPhone before we did, or before Steve Jobs.
Before it was.
Yeah. And things like that are, in the whole scheme of human, in a way, human evolution, at least our society's evolution, gigantic steps. Like that was a gigantic step.
Yes. That
to have
was.
A phone that you could take around with you that's such a powerful tool that it does about everything.
Yeah, such a powerful computer.
That you take around with you.
Yeah.
Like, I think within maybe 100 years or so, I believe genetics will be that type of a situation. What do you think?
Can be tweaked that well?
I just think we'll be just social altering. Society altering stuff.
I think it's probably closer than 100 years, and I think it's going to be, and this is very, very bleak, I think it's going to be, you're going to be able to buy good genes. You're going to be able to buy longevity. You're going to be able to buy intelligence and charisma.
I think you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right. That's a great way to put it, to buy what you, the way you just put that's exactly right. So let's face it, when you start getting the genetics down and you start figuring out exactly which genes to turn on and off for super intelligence, for super athletic ability, I mean, you're going to have people literally with the athletic ability of Michael Jordan and the brain of Einstein.
Yeah.
Literally. You'll have that, so you're going to have.
Yeah, because people are going to be able to afford to give their children that.
Some people will.
Yes.
And just like now, you know, it's very early, but I can kind of see this. Like, even now, medicine has evolved to, there's some medicine that you, it's independent of insurance, and you basically just have to have the money to do it.
Oh, yeah. There's quite a bit of that.
A lot of it, right?
Yeah.
Cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, you either have the money to do it or you don't, but your insurance isn't going to pay for it.
Cosmetic dentistry, LASIK surgery. There's a lot of things like that that are very convenient.
How about this? Medical luxury items. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Medical luxury items. And your insurance says, screw you. We're not paying for boobs for everybody.
Nope.
But if you want to get them yourself, go for it. Well, I think it's going to be exactly the same thing with genetics. You're going to be able to order up a baby like I just said, has Muhammad Ali's athletic ability and Stephen Hawking's brain.
Yeah.
That.
Dang.
If you can afford it and or want to do it. I've talked to a lot of people who I've just kind of threw that out.
Yeah.
As a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Would you do it? If it's going to cost you $100,000, but you knew you could have a kid like I just described, would you do that? Most people say no, that I talk to in general public. Like, no, that's playing God, blah, blah, blah.
You know what?
Got a ding. But, I mean, I would totally do that.
All right, absolutely. I'm a 45-year-old woman that's still ovulating, so could conceivably still conceive a child somehow. Ugh, yuck. But anyhow, if we did, we'd have to do so damn much genetic testing because I'm 45 years old. Like, I wouldn't want to conceive a child unless I could go through, like, medical processes, steps to ensure that I wasn't going to be passing on Down syndrome and all, like, the other million things that old eggs pass on to offspring.
What if you play this out long enough, what I'm saying, if it does happen, mm-hmm. then you'll have a lot of people who are, let's say, religious,
mm-hmm.
whatever religion is. It doesn't have to be Christianity, but whatever. Some sort of your religious belief stops you from doing that. And then you'll have people like me and you that are like, screw that. I want the healthiest, baddest-ass kid I can get. Yeah. Who do you think's going to rule who in 50 or 60 years? You got people of average intelligence with average athletic ability and average everything.
Mm-hmm. And then people with super abilities.
People basically superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just picking out physical, like I keep saying Michael Jordan body and athletic ability and Einstein's brain. But there's also all the in-betweens.
Yeah.
Super health, super
attractive
music ability, attractive traits.
Yeah.
You can just go down the line of that kid will be so far superior.
And I have a feeling we'll get to the point it will be so boutique genetics that it will be like you pay the first $1 million for your designer baby. For each, quarter of $1 million mm-hmm. afterwards, you get a luxury upgrade in perfect health. Exceptional appearance, athletic and physical ability, there'll be different categories that you'll be able to.
There will still be some religious people who will get on this, I suppose. I mean, some people are just ultra religious more than others.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
You really think that religion will somehow draw, be a line in the sand between this and.
For a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you'll have a ton of people who have these super kids who are not as religious or not religious at all compared to super religious people on the other end of the spectrum who have quote unquote average normal kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see how this eventually plays out. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know if religion will be the dividing line. I was thinking it was going to be more like finances, kind of like that, Gattaca movie that we both like.
Well, I don't know, but Barbara Streisand's dog
started this whole conversation.
Is a it's a good start on something.
It is. It's kind of weird, Miss Scarlet and Miss Violet, because she had it double cloned, two for one, and
speaking of
put them in different colors. Yes.
Pets and animals.
We had to make an emergency vet trip.
Oh, poor Chairman Meow. Tell him what was happening with poor Chairman Meow.
Well, we'd heard some scratching in the litter box. I think it was the night before or maybe the two nights before.
She's our Miss Poop a lot.
Yeah, and I was scooping poop and I realized there was blood in her urine. So we had to make the emergency shove the cat in the cat carrier and take her to the vets. And
of course, it's the one time the way to the vet is roads tore. We're in the middle of a town. Yeah. And the road's tore up like we're off-roading.
It's horrible.
The cat
is literally drooling all over herself.
We had to 3 pees before we got there, and it's a 15-minute drive, right?
Yes.
We had pee, poop,
and puke. And puke.
All over the cat cage. All over the little cat carrier.
Yeah. All over mom.
So we go to the vet.
And there's a new vet tech that, like, doesn't know that my cat has no teeth and no claws.
Because our old vet, he's kind of cool dude. I like him.
Yeah. So he kind of lets the vet tech, you know, take a handle of this monster that I love.
The old vet is hazing his vet tech, basically.
Basically, yeah. And Chairman Meow just lets out with the most god-awful, like, cat growling that goes...
So the old vet goes, all right, new guy, get in there and get her.
Grab her. Yeah.
Get in there and grab her. Right?
And the other vet techs that have been there all along that know my cat, they're all like right around the corner laughing their asses off, basically.
Because
the new vet tech is just terrified of our toothless, clawless.
Right. They don't. Right. Cat. He doesn't know it's toothless and clawless. The other vet people know our cat is, clawless and missing her fangs and, Lord, she couldn't hurt a flea.
No, she really can't.
But she can hiss and put up a pretty good front.
She does. She makes a big old fuss of it. She looks awful and has poop on her and drool everywhere. So she just looks.
And she's hissing and growling.
Yeah. It's funny.
So the new vet tech get her?
No. And I finally stepped in the way and she puts her head like right in my stomach, you know, so she can't see anything. And then she's comforted. So she hides her eyes and everybody else can't see her.
Like it's going away.
Yeah.
That's very childish and cute.
It is.
Not bad. That is funny.
So she got shot antibiotic and she goes back sometime this week, I think. We get another urine sample. That's always fun.
So she got a shot in the butt?
Shot in the butt.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a message from one of our listeners. It's on and off. And she sends me messages on Twitter. She gets it, and I'm mostly on Twitter.
Oh.
Which, by the way, where can they find us in general, Miss Petra?
Well, our staging area is hillbillynerdtalk.com.
Yes.
From our website, you can follow Hank's Twitter. And there's some Facebook there and my Pinterest.
Exactly. I'm not exactly stellar on the Facebook part of it, but I'm pretty active on Twitter. If you want to get a hold of us.
Yeah.
Petra on Pinterest and me on Twitter is the best way to do it. But anyway, Shadow Hand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's her Twitter name, of course. Shadow Hand has been one of our listeners for a long, long time. She lives out in the middle of nowhere in Sweden. Isn't that awesome? She grew up in Scotland and now lives out in the middle of the deep Arctic forest in Sweden.
That's cool and cold at the same time.
I envision like a little witch's house out in the middle of that's literally what she says. I live in the deep Arctic forest. That's awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She says she has a little farm, grows her own food.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah. Has animals. She says she has many animals to provide for. I just love that. She's not a fan of store-bought meat and veggies, so she grows most of her own fruit and vegetables.
Oh, neat.
Doesn't that just sound awesome?
Yeah.
Well, we were
running around today talking about that anyhow. So.
Well, she was telling us a story, or she was telling me a story through message. She heard us last week, or one of our stories triggered her. But it's just interesting how things are the same everywhere.
Wherever you go.
She was having somebody snowplow for her, and they had overcharged her. They were calling and harassing her. And they went by her house personally, apparently knocking on doors, trying to collect money and harassing her and all that kind of crap. Yeah. So it's, you know, that crap goes on everywhere. That's what I told her. I'm like, well, in a way. It's good to know it happens everywhere.
It's good to know that it happens everywhere, but I'm sorry it's happening to you.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So she'll like that Montana story. But doesn't it just sound like
my class?
Isn't it interesting how some of our listeners, like the situation that they're listening to us in and where they're at? And you know, the world really is getting smaller as far as things like
it
that.
It is.
Like, we're not best friends with Shadowhand, but there's something. Well, if she ever came to Kentucky, she could look us up and we could totally, like, I think that is just a neat thing.
Well, and I think the internet has allowed people to listen to, you know, the outside world and to realize that all over the world there are enclaves of hillbillies.
I agree. I think that's true. Yeah. I think us hillbillies are
it's a type
universal.
Of culture that.
Yeah, she sounds like a Swedish hillbilly to me.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to the other day something that it was Cajun, and I was following right along with it, and it was one of those things where later they translate it, and I'm like, oh, you aren't supposed to understand that. But honestly, there's enough similarities and stuff that it was kind of like, it's just, it's damn hillbilly. Soggy hillbilly. It really is.
You know, and I'm guilty of this too. When I was younger, I didn't embrace it. I more was ashamed of it. And now I'm very proud of it. Like we were in Montana. I made a point. Like, I didn't care when I talked to people. Hey, where are you guys from? We're a bunch of hillbillies from Kentucky. How about you? Or whatever. Yeah. Just whenever it came up in conversation.
Yeah.
I was not in the least bit ashamed or afraid or.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, nobody cared. Most people thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And in a way, they kind of liked it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's very disarming, and I think most
and
of them.
And you were some non-threatening guys to, you know, it wasn't like you were wearing, like, Brothers of the Wheel biker leathers talking about being hillbillies either.
Well, and at the end of the day, I feel like it's a little bit of good something like that. Yeah, we're hillbillies. We're up here skiing, dropping a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, we went out to eat nice places. Like, yeah, we're hillbillies, but, you know, we got just as much money as you have.
Yeah, yeah. We're out in the world. We're citizens of the worldwide world.
We made it out of the holler. We made it out of the holler.
We did.
Here we come. So, I thought it was kind of a funny thing.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. But I embrace it. I really have for a long time. I love our Appalachian heritage.
I have for a long time.
I really have. I mean, from
that's good.
Being a teenager, I don't know. I was lucky to be involved in some programs that helped me see the upsides of our culture.
Well, so. That's good. I mean, that's part of the reason we've named our show what we have, and part of the theme of the show that runs through it is we do feel like we're kind of educated hillbillies.
Yeah,
and so there is some stereotypes with hillbillies that we go against, but there's a lot of good qualities that we really like too.
Yeah, absolutely. And
there are a lot of educated hillbillies.
Yeah,
there are
so many more than we give credit to.
There sure are.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some smart people around here
and well-educated people.
Damn right. Doctors, lawyers, anything, any profession you name, I will find you a hillbilly that's in that profession somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Somebody that's come from this area who's gone on to some college somewhere and, yeah.
Absolutely.
Doing major stuff.
Absolutely.
Like when I got in the Hall of Fame, one of those people I got into my little high school Hall of Fame with.
Yeah.
Was somebody who's done, she was a neurologist, a neurosurgeon, and a neuroanesthesiologist.
Some crazy.
And now is doing research at Johns Hopkins in neuroscience.
Yeah.
She's a hillbilly.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. So I spread our hillbilly word around Montana, just so you know.
Our hillbilly doctrine. All right, folks, I think we are winding down for the week. I think we're both a little bit tired, but we'll talk to you hopefully next week.